shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
The problem was that I was dealing with a question that she raised about...
I think parents are going to let their kids eat what they want.
What comes next is entirely up to you. Wah.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And this hour we're going to be talking about Sandra Bullock adopting a child and divorcing her husband and a marvelous, marvelous display of humanity there. Professor Emery Clayton will be joining us to talk about that. 877-876-PHIL is our number, and also online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. And coming up next hour, we have New York radio and television personality Lionel. I like Lionel. He's funny, and he's just a fresh cat, you know. And he's funny as hell, and he's on WPIX in New York. He does his nightly, every night he does a television commentary of some kind, and then he also has it on WPIX.com, and he also does a commentary on Facebook, and he's got... Lionel and I are always trading shots on Facebook, so great guy and has a lot to say about a lot of stuff, so we're going to talk to him later on in the program. We are online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com, where you can not only listen to a live stream, but you can watch it. So it's all like in, you know, it's all kind of jammed into one thing there. All right, so Sandra Bullock has adopted a child and has divorced her husband. Jesse James is this guy's name. You've heard the story. He is a cat that makes motorcycles, and I guess he made him real good. And she thought that was great, so she married him. It's not necessarily the best reason for marrying a guy. I'm sure he was a stud and all that. Anyway, she's dumping her two-timing husband. Apparently, he was cheating with a variety of women, some of them tattoo models, others that he'd met coming out of the hepatitis clinic. And so anyway, divorce papers were filed on Friday in Austin, Texas. That would be last Friday, since this is Wednesday, where the 45-year-old Oscar-winning actress has a home. The impending end of her five-year marriage to Jesse James came as no surprise on the heels of reports that the motorcycle mogul had been cheating on her and that the couple had already separated. Now, we've got a little bit of audio that would like to run for you here. This is Courtney Hazlett. She's the entertainment reporter for the TodayShow.com website, and she's talking with Tamron Hall at MSNBC about why Sandra Bullock didn't announce the adoption when it happened in January.
They brought him home in January. She didn't want him to be part of that whole awards show season. She was swept up in it, obviously.
Yeah.
Even if she wasn't up for all those awards, it still would have been part of that same machine. She didn't want that to be his introduction to the world. So she will be filing for divorce from Jesse James, according to this piece in People magazine.
And she's going to raise Louis as a single mom.
That's right. That's right. A lot of people are wondering, too, about her relationship with Jesse James' kids. She says that she can't imagine life without his three kids in her life, and they'll be moving forward as co-parents.
Professor Emery Clayton joining us from L.A. Canyon College in North L.A. County. And Professor Clayton, you saw this article, and I understand that you talked to a couple of your classes today about it, huh?
I did for a very brief time, Phil. I spoke with members of not only our urban studies class, but also our anthropology class, and spoke at length to these young people about the dynamic of a white woman adopting a black child in the early millennium. Now, this has been a trend among some liberal whites. I'm not complaining about it, and you know that I have a great many opinions about this, but it's been a trend among liberal whites that I think might be picked up and carried a little bit further among conservative whites.
What your opinion is not a very, you don't have a very high opinion of white people who adopt black babies, is that correct?
That is absolutely correct, which is not to impugn the humanity of any parent, would-be parent, or any human that would adopt an infant that has been born into, dangerous circumstances, or has been born into any kind of circumstance where they cannot, their chance at life is diminished. I'm not trying to insult or second guess. But what I am doing And what I think everyone, including your white listeners, should understand is that they are in danger of a subconscious reflex that a lot of whites might try to, if you want to call it an itch, they're going to try to scratch it by adopting a black baby. And this subconscious reflex is a reflexive colonial or plantation mentality.
What does that mean?
I'm getting to that.
All right, but I, you know, reflexive plantation mentality. I think I'm getting, you know, I've known you long enough, Professor, to know that you're going to start talking about slavery?
No, you have not known me long enough to... Yes, I am going to start talking about slavery, but I'm not. You're not teaching the class I am. You understand?
Yeah, I know that, but all right. I'm sorry.
Phil, let me explain to you that while you and I have a good relationship, there are things that I know because of my standing and my status as a professor, as a teacher, as one who imparts a lesson to a class every day that you don't know. And yes, there is a reflex on the part of some whites with a black president to acquire, let's spell that word together, A-C-Q-U-I-R-E, acquire a black. And Sandra Bullock is a great actress, there's no question about it. But she's a human being and she's a white woman. And that basically means that there's nothing special about her beyond the fact that she's a great actress that I can think of. And if you are a white person in the age of Obama, you want to adopt a child, or do you acquire a black? And that's what she's done.
Okay, so what does that mean exactly?
It means that that's the closest thing that you can get in our society to having your own, to have your own, to do as you please, to order around. You own one, you see. And I don't mean to be insulting, but I think this is a reflexive and subconscious thing that a lot of whites fall into. I don't think it has anything to do necessarily with them being bad people. And
are you telling me that she's adopted a black baby to own a black person?
It is the next best thing to having a slave. Understand that when a child is under the age of 18, when a human being is under the age of 18, they must do what the adult tells them to do. And if you're white and you've adopted a black and that child is in your house until that child is 18, understand that that child must do as you so direct that child to do. And the last time I checked, the last time I was in the library looking under the heading of slavery and plantation mentality, that's a slave.
Well, you can't be serious that they want the kid to go out and chop cotton. What kind of slave are we talking about?
We're talking about a modern mentality. And so we're talking about a millennial mentality. We're not talking about chopping cotton. And I think that's a little silly, Phil. That you understand where I'm going with this, all right?
Well, if you tell me that a white woman like Sandra Bullock adopted a black kid to have a slave because it's a reflex that whites have, then I have to ask you, what are the limits of that?
What are the limits of what? You say there's a white woman who's got herself a black.
What are the limits? If she's not going to have the kid going out chopping cotton, she's going to give the kid an education.
Sure. Thomas Jefferson gave his slaves an education. Some of his slaves got an education. Thomas Jefferson treated some of his slaves real good. But at the end of the day, they were nothing more than black people in the house of the master. And at the end of the day, as good as she might be feeling about herself right now, she dumped this trailer trash, this man she was married to, this Jesse James. She got rid of that. And now she has herself a black child. And sure, she'll get it educated. She'll dress it up, put shoes on its feet, and send it into town where it'll learn at the feet of this speckled white teacher. But at the end of the day, that's a child that is going to come home to a white woman and have to do what she's telling it to do.
You don't, in your mind, there is nothing, there is nothing positive about this situation.
I didn't say that. I said that she'll love the child and treat the child well, but this is a way for her, as a white woman, to feel like, look at this, I got a black. Now, when you are, Phil, understand something. When you get out of bed in the morning and you get up and you go into the kitchen and you got yourself a cup of coffee and you see there's a black boy standing there, it is very tempting not to think like, well, I don't want to, you know, it's very tempting not to think, for instance, what can I have him do for me? I'm not saying that people think that way or at least act on those thoughts, but I'm saying that it's very tempting not to. And if you get up in the morning and you see they're standing there with his shoes shined and his hair combed and he's standing there smiling at you, you're a white woman, I'm saying Sandra Bullock, she might be a great actress. Last time I checked, she ain't the Virgin Mary. She may be tempted to think, now, I wonder, I got myself a little... Here's a little black butler. I wonder if I could get him to...
A black butler. So that's what the mother of this... This is going to be his mother.
I understand he's his mother. Okay? But you have to wonder why someone like Sandra Bullock couldn't pick out a white baby to adopt. Why did she go after a black child? Ask yourself that question.
Because there might be a high percentage of black children, given the life condition of some of them, that are at risk.
The life condition of some of them. What's that supposed to mean?
You know very well what I'm talking about. There may be more black kids at risk than there were white kids. I don't know. Maybe there weren't enough white kids to adopt.
Well, I think it's to give herself. I think it's to give herself a little bit more, a little bit of a lift. I don't know that. I don't know any white people that adopt a black kid that they don't have an ulterior motive to make themselves look better at the end of the day. And I don't necessarily believe it's because. They want to look good to their friends. I think it's because, for practical reasons, they can say, look what I got here. What do you need? You need a drink? You want your cigar lit? Watch what I got. Come here. That sounds...
Oh, come on.
I know that sounds extreme, but that is the reality in a great many homes across this country. And she could have adopted that Russian kid that family in Tennessee gave back to Russia. Plenty of white orphans in Russia. Why'd she go grab that kid? That kid was sent back. She could have said, wait a second, I'll take it. But no, she had her eye, and she had her sights set. She was zeroed in like a periscope on a destroyer in the Pacific in World War II. Zeroed right in on the shining, smiling face of a black child with his shoes polished, just ready to grab a lighter and a cutter. To make that cigar smokable.
All right, hold on here, because that's you've been saying a lot, man, a lot. Professor Emery Clayton from L.A. Canyon College on the instinct of some white people to adopt black kids, like Sandra Bullock. It's because there's a reflex there. It's because they want a little miniature slave. 877-876-PHIL, your calls for Professor Emery Clayton, coming up next here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. News talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about through the looking glass every night. Don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com, where you can take a look at a live streaming video of our show right now. Professor Emery Clayton joining us, and we're very happy to have you, Professor. I have to tell you that we are discussing here the adoption of a black baby by Sandra Bullock, an actress that a great many people admire.
Why people admire her, though. Why do people admire Sandra Bullock?
Well, let me just allow me to finish here. And that she's adopted a child, a black child, perhaps because she feels or found out something about that child's circumstance. Maybe she just wants to have a black baby. I don't know, you know.
Yeah, she wants to have a black baby because she has that plantation reflex. Let me explain. I was on Google Trend today. I look at Google Trend. And do you know that if you enter in Sandra Bullock adopt or you enter in Sandra Bullock divorce, that's one thing. But if you put in Sandra Bullock adopts black baby, it goes through the roof. And I think it's because you've got a lot of whites who, first of all, they want to make sure that the pool, the talent pool, doesn't get drained, you know.
And what talent pool?
I'm talking about the pool of black available black babies to adopt. That's number one. And number two, I think they feel organically it is DNA, Phil. You have to understand a DNA. It is an ancient genetic response. I've got to have someone to run errands and do for me, and I don't want to have to pay it. And for a white, the immediate DNA ingrained in their brain is for a black person, and what better way to get yourself a black slave than go ahead and adopt one at birth, and that slave grows up. And you have to, again, the subconscious racism to enslave the black.
All right, you know, you have a racist attitude yourself.
You and I have talked about this, Phil. You're not going to insult me.
No, but to assume that this is in the DNA of whites is to say that whites are evil, racist, and there's nothing you can really change about them. They just happen to be, DNA-wise, a racist, evil race.
No, that's not what that says. That's not what that says at all. Because there's some whites that resist that temptation. They resist that DNA. But Sandra Bullock, she's an actress. She's not a brain surgeon. She's an actress. She's not a philosopher. She's an actress. She's not a deep thinker. She does what she feels is going to make her life easy as an actress. How's she going to get her scripts read and all that? Who's going to drive her to the studio and whatnot?
You know, all right, 877-876-PHIL. That's what she's thinking, huh? Let's go over to Louise. You're on the Phil Hendry Show, Louise, with Professor Emery Clayton. Welcome to the show. Go ahead, please.
Well, I think the professor should be fired to start with. He is teaching...
Fired,
from being a professor. He is teaching young minds his hatred that he has between the black and the white.
Oh, it's not. It's DNA. That's all DNA. It's the neural pathway. That's all it is.
I have a lot of great-grandchildren who are black and a lot that are white, and I'm just as proud as the black ones as the white ones, and they are all the same to me, and you don't need to give me that kind of DNA. I've got two of them that have won college scholarships this year.
Now, ma'am, you said you've got two that have one skull. Are they Siamese twins?
What are you saying?
She said there's two that share one skull. You said two of them share a skull.
Scholarships.
I did not.
That's what I thought. Now, when you say you've got black grandchildren, aren't they generally the ones that take, you know, drive you to church and all that?
No, they are.
Yes, they are. Now,
they
you can
are
tell
not.
The truth.
I take them to church. You don't know what you're talking about. You're teaching young people that go to college a wrong perception of what life really is.
Now, this is DNA. See, this got nothing to do with how you think.
I know all about DNA. I have worked with DNA. Don't tell me about DNA.
You've worked with it. You know about DNA, then. All right, you know what it can do. You know what it does to people.
What do you mean what it does to people? It's part of what we are.
Right. And whites, when they see a black kid standing around doing nothing, their instinct is to say, look, go chop some wood or something. Isn't that right, Louise?
What kind of a years are you talking about? Back in the Civil War days or something?
No, ma'am.
I tell you,
no, ma'am.
You should never teach in any place. You
I'm
will
not saying...
blow people's minds.
I'm not
That's
saying
what's
it's a
wrong
bad
with our
thing.
Young people. That's what's wrong with our young people today. We have too many teachers like
yeah.
you.
Let me ask a question here, Professor Clayton. You're saying that, Professor Clayton, if you see a young black person standing...
Leaning against the wall is what I'm saying, Phil. I'm not saying a young black person going, but if you see a young black person loitering, the DNA kicks in, and you want to say, look, why don't you saddle a horse or something? See, it's almost automatic. It's nothing
where
we can control. Where am I coming from?
So you're saying, in other words, if I'm walking down the street, I'm a white guy, and I see a black kid leaning against a wall, my DNA kicks in.
Right.
And I want to say, saddle a horse or chop some wood.
Exactly. That's all I'm trying to say to Louise. And Louise thinks it's all about being a bad person.
Well, my great-grandchild won a scholarship. And was I supposed to say, oh, well, where were you white people? Why didn't you win scholarships like he did? No, he didn't.
No. He won the scholarship. But if after he won the scholarship, he was leaning against a fence, you would have said to him.
He never leaned against a fence. He does work.
Good
he
for him.
He worked his way through college.
Well,
and
there's nothing wrong with leaning against.
Right, but if you saw him leaning against the fence, you'd say, I know you got a scholarship, but I still need for you to, you know, clean out the cat box.
Phil Hendry.
Phil here, world famous Phil Hendry Show, and we're talking with Professor Emery Clayton, along with you, about Sandra Bullock adopting a black child. Now, here is the story, Professor Clayton, that you wanted me to get out of the news pile here, the People magazine.
Right. If you look at that story, Phil, and your listeners, I direct them to the People magazine exclusive interview. It says that she reveals that her favorite experience so far with a newly adopted, this is a black child, was the secret bris, which is a Jewish circumcision ceremony. And it goes on to say that Bullock and her family had to be secretive about the adoption of baby Louis Bardo Bullock. They did manage to share one moment, a private Jewish circumcision. Now, a very suspect, because she's not Jewish. Circumcision is a traumatic and painful thing.
Now, you know that even Gentile babies, American babies are circumcised.
Well, that may well be, but my question for you is this. Why did she have a Jewish circumcision? I believe it's because of the DNA of her whiteness. She wanted to adopt a black child so that she has, as I say, this de facto, if you will, this plantation reflexive slave, but at the same time, she has made herself Jewish because Jews did not necessarily own slaves, but sold them. And I think she is trying to malign the Jewish people by...
Well, where are you going with this, man? You're talking...
Now, let me tell you what, I'm not going anywhere. I'm telling you that this is... It borders on hateful. Now, I understand it's the DNA that...
The DNA made her have a Jewish circumcision for...
I'm asking you, is she Jewish?
I have no idea.
But the answer is no, she's not. Now, how weird can it get? Well, here's Sandra Bullock, married this trailer trash, dumps that, adopts a black baby, and says, oh yeah, by the way, find me a rabbi and let's do a Jewish circumcision. I think this is the subconscious reflexive plantation DNA reaction of a white. Who has suddenly found herself in possession of a small black baby.
You know what? What you just said may sound good in front of a class, but I have to tell you...
Well, if you didn't understand it, Phil, please don't malign my efforts as a teacher. I would say that you might have to open your mind to a few possibilities.
Well, that could very well be, but I don't... The last thing you said about... She decided to have a Jewish circumcision for the baby so she could malign the Jewish people as slave owners as opposed to slave sellers. Is that it?
That is correct, yes.
And by the way, you know all this stuff about the Jews sold slaves, they didn't, you know, and all the blacks. The whole scene, man, trying to cut out one group of people and include another and trying to make this somebody's fault, it really bugs me.
I'm just trying to be accurate, that's all.
It just bugs the hell out of me. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Jane on the Phil Hendry Show. Jane, go ahead. You're on with Professor Emery Clayton.
Yes. Hi, Phil, and hi, Mr. Clayton.
Hi.
I just think it's a shame that...
Good evening.
...Mr. Clayton is wasting such a very intelligent brain thinking about what he's, you know, saying what he is choosing to say. How does he know that Sandra Bullock is not a deep thinker, that she's just an actress? You know, who are you to judge people? And, you know,
first of all, my name is Professor, if you don't mind. I worked very hard for that.
Professor,
excuse me?
You worked hard for that. You don't even sound intelligent.
Excuse
it's
me.
A shame.
Barbara Boxer insulted a member of the United States military when she said, I want to be called senator. I don't think I'm insulting you. I'm simply saying my name is Professor Clayton. And if you asked me to call you Miss or Mrs., I would show you the courtesy of addressing you that way. But let me just say this. Sandra Bullock's an actress. She's a very fine actress, but that's about as far as it goes. When it comes to deep thinking, you and I both know that she can't think any deeper than go get me something.
No, I don't know that.
You know as well. You know as well as I do that
no,
woman can't think her
not,
way.
Okay?
She can't think her way through a bag of Fritos.
Very racist. And why aren't you
I do not
like
think
that.
I didn't say racism.
Madonna.
I said DNA. No, I said the DNA. I didn't say racism. I said the woman is a white woman.
I said, no, I'm saying racism. You're saying that.
That's easy for you to say. See, I'm the deep thinker. You're the one that's going for racism. You're going for the easy.
Because,
you are.
Well, wait
racism.
A minute. Are you saying that Ms. Bullock is a racist, Professor Clayton?
I'm saying she is the victim of a reflexive psychological reaction. It's got nothing to do with consciously choosing racism.
How do you
racism.
Know that?
She's a white woman.
Are you analyzing people in their actions?
Excuse me. I'm a professor in a college. What do you do? Thank you. That answers my question.
I'm a commercial
truck driver. What I would say,
and I'm also
you're a commercial,
engineer.
You're a mud driver? What is it?
Truck driver.
All right, I think I'm a little more qualified to talk about these things than, you know, someone that's hauling bags of Bandini. This is a woman, a white woman, who sees the opportunity to possess a black. And the way to do that, obviously, legally, is to adopt one. And for 18 years, you essentially have a human being that has to do what you tell it to do. Now, that isn't slavery. Well, I don't know what is.
All right, so nobody adopts a black baby just to have a child, to raise a child, and to love a child.
No, I didn't say that. I said whites. When a white chooses to adopt a black, that's very unusual. Very unusual. I'm talking to a white woman right now. I'm talking to a white woman right now. You would never.
Like this. And Angelina Jolie.
How many black babies have you adopted? Yeah.
I have not adopted anybody whatsoever.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
How many black people have you
Thank
adopted?
You. How many black people have I adopted?
Uh-huh.
Well, you blew it with that.
Well, how many white people have you adopted?
No.
Have you adopted?
The point is...
She's a white woman, and she ain't adopted a black kid. You want to know why? Because she doesn't want to be a slave owner.
Because
she knows, I know.
DNA, you said. How ridiculous.
No, you. I'm talking about you. And why you avoid adopting a black baby when you know it would make you feel good. Why don't you do it? Because of what I'm saying right now.
You don't want to be
some fat, puffed up plantation owner wearing high knee boots and a big hat and bringing somebody coming out with a mint julep.
Oh,
you sound uneducated.
Professor Clayton, what you're doing is you're painting everybody with the same brush. You're stereotyping people.
Oh, you can use all those big words, Dave, but you can use all those big words.
What about white people who adopt Chinese people just because they're white? That's not a problem?
Chinese people? Are you saying they're adopting them as adults? Chinese people? You mean babies?
Why are you even throwing that in there? Am I saying that as adults?
I don't know what you mean. You're saying they adopted them. How come I didn't adopt
any black
people?
I don't think anybody knows what you mean.
Well, you don't, and you've been spending the last 10 minutes trying to figure me out. You know why? Because you're attracted to me.
Because
you're attracted to my mind. You're attracted to my brain. You're attracted to my mind. What are you laughing at?
I'm laughing at what you just said to that woman. That's the funniest thing I've heard. You're attracted to my brain. You're attracted to my mind. And that lady, she's hanging up on you. And she hung up on you. You know, because this nonsense about white people adopting black babies so they got themselves a slave.
That woman, I said, is more conscious of it than anyone. That woman would adopt a black baby, and immediately it would be, you know how is that song? What's that song?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't know what? You don't have Gone with the Wind.
Oh, come on, man. I mean, I can go a little bit with the idea that perhaps there's some sort of a reflexive psychological something or other, but Gone with the Wind? Diane in Salem, North Carolina. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Professor. I'm a black
woman. Ma'am.
I've been listening to your debate, and as a black woman, I just really feel like you're full of anger and rage, and you're totally ridiculous. That's what it sounds like. It really sounds like you're coming from a really angry place. And what you're saying, it really doesn't make sense. So I don't know.
Well, I'm trying to get through to some of these whites that are calling in.
Please, can I finish, sir?
Let the lady finish. Let the lady finish.
Okay. I don't like
a white man interceding on my behalf. I'm a black man. I can let a black woman talk. I don't need a white man to tell me that.
All right, fine.
All right. Well, let's go then. Okay. I don't think any. It's not even like a good point. Who would take a child? It takes money to raise a child. It takes attention and nurturing. So who would go through that in order to make them a miniature slave? It just doesn't make sense. And then on the other hand, if you think about it.
Yeah.
I have thought about it. It doesn't make sense. So are you saying that black people...
You don't think it costs money to keep slaves? It costs money to keep slaves. You got to buy the shack that they live in and everything else. But you get it on the other end, you see. It's part of... You deduct it from your overhead, but then your profits go up.
What are you talking about? How do you make money on it?
Okay, look.
You know, I don't mind the lady laughing at me, but you laughing at me, Henry, that bothers me.
I didn't laugh at you. She laughed at you. I was incredulous. I didn't understand what you're talking about.
Are you all?
Yes, ma'am.
If what you say makes sense, then that means that black people, in their DNA, we have a need to serve. We have a need to be slaves. I don't see black people going out and trying to be subservient to white people because of DNA. And where is that DNA stuff coming from? Have you done research? Is it statistically significant? What's going on? I really don't know.
It is significant. I'll tell you why. And the reason why black people have the DNA that presses their minds about being slaves is because we were able to culturally separate ourselves, and by that I mean we were able, once we were free, to create our own substructure and subculture. We had music, we had business, and so forth. What did whites have? Well, it's emblemized, I think, more. You hear this? This is a Gone with the Wind. Now, when a white hears this, they get teary-eyed. They get teary-eyed, and they...
Will you turn that off, please?
What?
Turn that off, please.
Look at that. See, I got to do what the white man told me to do. What do you mean, thank you? That song there brings a tear to every white man that listens to it.
Turn it off.
Listen, please turn it off. We're trying to have an intelligent discussion.
Yes, ma'am, but that's my point. That's my point, see? You and I, we don't get teary-eyed when we think about being slaves, do we? No, we don't get teary-eyed at all.
There were white people that were against slavery, so is it in their DNA to want to own a black baby?
Ma'am, you're absolutely right. There were white people that were against slavery, and they all were old, and they wore bonnets.
So, what does that mean?
They wore bonnets and they were old. Those are the people who were against slavery. They weren't a lick of good to anybody. Standing there with a prayer book.
I'm really
the only guy, James Brown was good, though.
Who's James Brown?
I'm really sorry.
You don't know who James...
No,
I want to talk to the young lady. You know the song James Brown's Body? Do you know that song?
I'm not sure. Maybe.
All right. James Brown.
You mean John Brown?
The guy that attacked Harper's Ferry.
Yeah, John Brown. James Brown was a blues singer.
Oh, forget
it. Wow.
No, not wow. Mr. Henry, you wow. Me, I'm good.
I just want to say that he doesn't represent all the black people. None
I understand
of
that, ma'am. I understand that. I understand
really,
that.
That's all I wanted to say.
Thanks a lot, Diane. Thank you. Thank you very much, Diane, for giving our people a bad name by explaining that.
Bye-bye.
Well,
what?
You ain't balling.
No, I'm not balling. Get out of here, okay?
I'll tell you something.
World famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
This is the world famous Phil Henry Show. We're back here final segment with Professor Emery Clayton on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. What did you feel I wasn't being fair about?
I felt that you were not very fair when I was talking to the young lady, and I was trying to make the point about Gone with the Wind. You understand, Mr. Henry, that when a white man hears the song Gone with the Wind, he thinks of the days that are gone with the wind, the good old days, the Gone with the Wind. But when a black man hears Gone with the Wind, he's thinking, I'm through the gate, across the field, I'm gone with the wind. And I put it to you that when whites, and subconsciously, again, you think I'm talking racism. This is a subconscious. You hear this? Just please listen to this.
Yes, I hear it.
All right. When a white hears this, and he hears Gone with the Wind, he look up, all the slaves gone with the wind. He's looking up, and where are my slaves? They're gone with the wind. And a tear comes to his eye as he thinks about all them blacks. They're just, they're gone, you know. I mean, elbows and asses.
Ha ha.
Well, there ain't no ha ha. What do you mean, ha ha?
Elbows and asses, I get it. 877-876-PHIL. We're talking to Professor Emery Clayton. All right, let's just turn the music off. Professor Emery Clayton here in the last few segments, the last few minutes of this segment. As we talk about Sandra Bullock and the reality of her adopting this black child, the baby is adopted, the baby has been circumcised, and the baby's name is Lewis Bullock. 877-876-PHIL. And Professor Clayton maintains that this is a white woman adopting a black baby is some sort of a plantation reflex. Michelle, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Professor Emery Clayton. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Henry, and sorry.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, Phil. Thanks
his
for
being name is Phil. His name's Phil. It ain't Henry.
She knows.
Yes. I'm a little nervous. You're a little intimidating, Professor. But I did have a couple of comments. Take my call.
Yes, ma'am.
Professor, I'm a little concerned about your perception of reality. And I understand that the black race has suffered and endured many, many struggles beyond anything that could be forgiven. However, we're in a different time now, and there's still racism out there, and I think that you're exhibiting it a little bit at yourself. So my question for you, Professor...
Well, I don't see how I'm doing that. I just simply said that when you hear Gone with the Wind, don't you think about all the slaves that split?
Well, Gone with the Wind is not...
Why would she think that?
...of the mindset of American people today. It's a movie.
Today, that's...
Don't
that's the Civil War era.
But I'm talking about the DNA.
Well, will you knock it off with DNA?
No, I would like to go to the DNA, if that's okay, Phil. I would like
Thank
to know.
You. I'd like to talk about DNA. I've been trying to get DNA in here for the last hour.
I would love to hear your scientific basis of how you can judge someone's DNA and their basic thought process and motivation based on their race. So do you have scientific...
Well, it's simple. It's not based on race. It's based on a combined cultural shared experience that most whites went through, and that is the colonial period and the enslavement of dark-skinned people. Now, this is something that the white brain... it's not endemic, it's not necessarily organic to the white brain, but it is shared because the white brain experienced it. Now then.
Well, that's nurture.
All right, I can't.
And that would be environmental influence, not science.
Also, though, affects the neural pathways and eventually becomes a part of the genetic scheme. I'll give you another example of that. The hunter-gatherer instinct of the male as opposed to the domesticity of the female. This was all learned during the hunter-gatherer period. When the females gathered to give birth to the babies and to keep the fire burning while the males went out and hunted, the women became communicative, the men became very silent. And
all right, do we got to go back thousands of years? Can't we?
No, but we're not going back thousands. Here, this is how far I want to go. You want to go back here? Let's go back this far.
Oh, turn that crap off.
Go ahead, ma'am. What I'm getting at is that it sounds like you're talking more about environmental versus an actual scientific foundation for what you're claiming your opinions are based on. They sound very opinion and not very science.
So it is a theory. It is a theory. However, I would put it to you.
Theory is useless.
And when I say I'd put it to you, I don't mean that in a sexual way. I beg pardon?
A theory is usually based on scientific data to get any credibility. So I do question.
Exactly. Mine's based on Salvador data.
Have you ever extracted DNA code from a white person that has supported this opinion of yours?
Well, you don't extract DNA code from anyone and then read the psychological. You can't do that. But what you can do is extract DNA and see where the lineage of that particular individual has led. Now, I won't play Gone with the Wind, but have you ever heard the song, I'm Long Gone Like a Turkey Through the Corn?
All right. Thanks very much for your call. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL. Let's got one more. Actually, we don't have any more time for any more phone calls, Professor.
I'm looking at your clock. I got 45 seconds.
I'm not taking any more calls because it's getting weird. All right. I simply would like to say, because I've got a couple of things that I want to say. Some of the.
You don't like me playing this song, do you?
Turn it off, bud.
What?
I'm the guy that calls the shots.
I told that kid, Bud, to play that song just to see if a tear formed in the corner of your eye. What about it, Bud?
Yeah, it seems he's crying like a baby.
Bull crap. It's the way he smells. It always makes my eyes water.
I heard that.
We'll be back. Lionel, next hour on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry.